is Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 1, and that can be found on page 1052 in our church Bibles. Luke chapter 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning. There was some serious flooding after heavy rains, and a man was stranded on the roof of his house. I apologise if you've heard this one before. The man got on his knees and started praying for help. That's what we're talking about today, prayer, in case you hadn't noticed. He heard the sound of a helicopter flying overhead, and the ladder was lowered down to him. "Come on, jump in." "No thanks," he said. "God's going to save me." He got on his knees like a good pious man and carried on praying and waited. And the waters just kept coming and getting deeper. And then he heard an outboard engine, you know, chug, 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 a little boat coming approaching him. And he heard a voice, "Come on, climb in." "No thanks," he said. "I'm waiting for God." The waters continued to get deeper and it got worse. And then he heard voices from the roof of a nearby house. They threw him a rope and said, "Grab the rope, come on, you'll be fine." "No thanks," he said. "I'm waiting for God." Finally, later that day, it was getting desperate. The waters were up to his waist, up to his neck. He prayed again, "God, why haven't you rescued me?" And then he heard an exasperated voice. "My son, I sent you a helicopter. I sent you a boat. I even sent you a lifeline. What more do you want?" It's only a story. We might laugh. But on reflection, isn't it true to life? In prayer, we're always ready to take to God all of our needs and the needs of those we love. But do we stop and take time to listen to God? Do we recognise what he has already given us? Do we recognise he's with us all the time? And do we recognise answered prayer and give God thanks when this happens? If you're looking for or expecting guidance from an expert in prayer this morning, I'm sorry, I'm not that person. I'm afraid you won't get it from me. I confess, I find the practice of prayer very challenging. Why? Because prayer, surely on the face of it, it's a very simple activity. We're communicating with the living God who loves and cares for us so deeply. Because Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship. However, a number of things can get in the way and leave us feeling that perhaps we haven't mastered this important element of faith. But then the question comes up, how can we master prayer when the whole object of prayer is to be mastered? How can we hand all our cares and concerns over to our wonderful Heavenly Father and seek his guidance in our daily walk with him? One of the best aids I've come across in trying to learn how to pray, other than the Bible, is a book called How to Pray by Pete Gregg. Has anyone used it or come across it? I'd strongly recommend it. I had a look last night on Amazon. It's $4.99, and I'd highly, strongly recommend getting this book. Early in the book, Pete Gregg, the author, this is a chap who's been studying and finding out about prayer for 40 years, and he said the most helpful thing he ever heard. So if you hear nothing else today, listen to this. Three things. Number one, keep prayer simple. Secondly, keep prayer honest. And then third, keep it up. So that's, perhaps, you can probably guess, it's going to be number three I'll be thinking about today. I won't dwell on simplicity and honesty in prayer, other than to say that, I mean, some of Ali's prayers this morning, God wants us to talk to him as we really are. Let's not go to God pretending everything's great and we're falling apart. That's not what God wants. We're his children and he loves us and he wants us to be honest. We don't need to use lots of words to get God's attention. He's a loving father. He's delighted when we turn our attention to him, as Ali's just prayed. So keep prayer simple. God doesn't expect us to be perfect and to get it right all of the time. But he does expect us to be honest with him. Tell him as it really is. He's a loving father and he wants to hear from your heart. If you look at Matthew 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus covers these aspects of prayer. So we'll focus on the third suggestion, keep it up. So keep prayer simple, keep prayer honest, and keep it up. And this is the thrust of Jesus' teaching this morning. So if you want to learn how to pray, who better can we turn to than, not me, Jesus? As Christians, we centre our whole lives on our living Lord, both on his teachings and his lived out example. Jesus was a real prayer. If you look at his ministry, it was scattered with prayer from start to finish. And he prayed before every important aspect of his life. And when his disciples asked him to teach them to pray, Jesus gave his disciples the most profound, meaningful, and yet simple prayer that the world has ever known, the Lord's Prayer. It takes 30 seconds to say it, but it can provide a lifetime of knowledge and wisdom that contains the very basis of our faith and our belief. So if you're happy to acknowledge Jesus' authority on the subject of prayer, then let's look at the meaning of this morning's reading. Jesus tells a parable about a judge who, shall I say, cranky to be polite, and he didn't have the sort of character that we would hope from a judge. He neither feared God nor cared for men, and for some reason he refused to find in a widow's favour and denied her the justice that she deserved. He kept her waiting, and it was only for his own peace of mind that he eventually found in her favour. But then we hear the widow got her way by being persistent. So I think it's fair to say in no way Jesus was comparing this judge with our Heavenly Father. If anything, he was offering a contrast between them. We know of God's loving, compassionate, caring nature. He loves each and every one of us. And that's demonstrated, and we celebrate it all throughout the Bible. So we have no doubt that God does indeed care about us men. The point that Jesus was making was that even if an unfair and unjust judge could be persuaded through perseverance to give him what has been asked for, then surely our loving Heavenly Father will bring about justice for us, his chosen ones. The key word is perseverance. In Matthew 7, Jesus told his disciples to keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on knocking at the door. And then he repeated it 6 times. Jesus said in one sentence, keep on, keep on, keep on. Never stop praying. It's hard to hear this when you've been praying for something for a long time and you haven't had that prayer answered. I don't know about you, but we may have been praying about a situation for a while with no sign of an answer that we're looking for. We may have been praying for many years for the salvation for somebody that we love. We may have been praying about a health situation. We may have been praying about careers or financial issues. Whatever the circumstances might be, Jesus' advice is again, what do we do? What do we do? We keep on praying, don't we? Never give up. So going back to the How to Pray book, the author likens the act of continuing to pray as with the domino effect. We might feel discouraged that our prayers haven't been answered, but keep on praying, and eventually the prayer will be answered, and you'll see the pile of dominoes fall down. Have you ever done that? Line the dominoes up, flick the one, the whole lot falls. That's what will happen. Keep on praying. He also gives the analogy in the book of rocks being thrown into a swamp. Throw a rock, nothing happens, it disappears. Throw another rock, nothing happens, it disappears. Keep on throwing the rocks and eventually they'll pile up and we'll see the rocks come out of the water, the swamp's filled in. So there's one other analogy, I'll just share this one as well. If you've got something really on your heart and you pray and you get the message, pray now and I'll answer it tomorrow morning. Would you be on your knees and praying? Would you do it if you knew it was going to be the next day? Would you? If you was told, I say that prayer for the next 10 years every morning and then it'll be answered, are you still prepared to do it? That's hard, isn't it? 10 years. I've been praying for something specific for 30 years and I'm going to keep going until it's answered. So we trust by faith that God has the power and the capacity to answer any of our prayers at any time. We need that faith. If God chose to, if it was in our best interests, he'd answer that prayer immediately. It's not in our best interests. God is looking at things from a different perspective. He's looking from above. It's like a tapestry. If you look at the underside of a tapestry, it looks the best, doesn't it? You can't understand it. You look at it from above and you can see a picture being weaved. And that's the way God's working with us. It is easy to get discouraged when we have to wait and we have to keep on asking. But let us keep in mind that this is exactly what Jesus is teaching us to do. We can take comfort in the fact we know God loves us deeply and that everything he does is for our benefit and that he's got our best interests and heart. And should we just face it? He knows better, doesn't he? God is looking for us to demonstrate our faith, that he's listening to us, and that we expect him to answer our prayers in his timing. In this way, he's building up our patience and deepening our faith and trust in him. He's developing our character. And as an aside, our character is the only thing that we take with us when we go to him. So there's nothing more important than our character being deepened. In the How to Pray book, one of the best suggested means of keeping it up is to develop a habit of a daily prayer time. That is, to set aside time for God, to read his word and to pray. Hopefully you've got a handout, a purple handout. And within that there's... I did intend to bring one up with me. Sorry, I'll just get one. So this, if you just look at it, there's a few, some thoughts about prayer, and then there's a couple of practical examples in time. If you're lucky enough to have 30 minutes a day, there's a guide there on how to spend time with God. If you've got less time, there's a 10-minute suggestion on how we could spend time. So if you've got that with you, and if you see pause, rejoice, ask and yield, what do the first letters of that spell out? Pause, rejoice, ask, yield. It's pray, isn't it? So there's a little word there to help us. So we start off, pause. Sit quietly for a minute and still your soul before God. Secondly, rejoice. We always start prayer rejoicing. That's how we start the service. We rejoice that God's with us. Then third, we ask. We bring God all the things that we need. And then yield. So we're then yielding to God's love and guidance. So that's a little, it doesn't have to be 10 minutes, it doesn't have to be 30 minutes, but it's just a guide to help you. And hopefully you'll find that helpful as you on your journey of prayer. So can I challenge you to give them a try in the coming week? And try and set aside a regular time each day and see how you get on. And I'm not just saying only pray for those 10 or 30 minutes. Life should become, prayer should become part of our lives. And prayer isn't easy, but it's certainly worth working at. And if you find it difficult to pray on your own, why not find a prayer partner? And another little plug for home groups. If you're not yet in a home group, there's a regular opportunity to pray with others. And praying with others is always helpful. If you'd like more help with your prayer life, come and talk to us afterwards. Come and see Jude or myself or Paul or anybody who's been around for a little while in the church. Yeah, there's opportunities to be prayed for at the end of the service. So come and explore prayer. Prayer changes lives. We just need to learn to trust God to teach us to gradually for us to give him control of our lives. Just remember Jesus' words in Mark 11:24. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. That's exercising your faith. Are you ready to believe that you've received what you've asked for? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of prayer. Thank you that you have revealed yourself to us and made it clear that you want us to communicate with you through prayer. Please, Lord, give us the confidence to bring our prayers and requests to you and help us to have the faith to look forward to our prayers being answered. Thank you for Jesus' example of how to pray. Help us to hold him up as our example of how to talk with you. And we ask this in his precious name.